שלום, אנחנו קוראים בתלמוד עשר הספירות, כרך א',
דף
י"ח, או עמוד 18, אנחנו נמצאים בחלק הסתכלות פנימית, באות ט"ו.
We're reading the writings of Bala Sulam.
קבלה לעם, kab.co.il. כמו כן ניתן לשאול שאלות במהלך השיעור דרך האתר.
The study of the ten spherot, part one, הסתכלות פנימית, inward scrutiny, page 375. Chapter 3, Explanation of the Origin of the Soul. 15. Now we shall explain the matter of the origin of the soul. It has been said that it is a part of God above. We asked, how and in what does the form of the soul differ from his simple light, which separates it from the whole? Now we can understand that there really is a great disparity of form in it. Although he contains all the conceivable and imaginable forms, still, after that was said above, you find one form that is not contained in him, namely the form of the will to receive. For from whom would he receive? However, the souls, whose creation came about only because he wanted to delight them, which is the thought of creation, were necessarily imprinted with this law of wanting and yearning to receive his abundance. That is where they differ from him, since their form has changed from his. It has already been explained that a corporeal essence is separated and divided by the force of motion and remoteness of location. And a spiritual essence is separated and divided by disparity of form. The measure of disparity of form determines the distance between one another. If the disparity of form becomes complete oppositeness from one extreme to the other, they become completely severed and separated until they can no longer nourish from one another, for they are considered alien to one another. From this we see, where does this all come from? It's a part of God above. It's the upper light, which is in the will to receive, which separates the upper light from the Creator. And in this way, like a sphere is made. On the outside, it is completely will to receive that sustains it, that keeps the upper light within it, and these are the souls, meaning parts of the one soul of Adam Rishon, who was as one before the sin. This is why it's called the origin of the soul. Questions? All right, let's continue. In the morning, tons of questions. In the evening, calm. All right. Chapter 4.
אחר הצמצום והמסך שנעשה על הרצון לקבל, הוא נפסל מלהיות כלי קבלה.
After the tzimtzum and the masach, screen, that was placed on the will to receive, it was disqualified from being a kli, vessel for reception, and departed the system of kedusha, holiness. In its stead, the or chazer, reflected light, serves as a vessel of reception. Reading again. After the tzimtzum and the masach that was placed on the will to receive, it was disqualified from being a kli for reception and departed the system of kedusha. In its stead, the or chazer, reflected light, serves as a vessel of reception, and the kli of the will to receive was given to the system of tumah, impurity. The will to receive without the masach is in the system of tumah, impurity, and the will to receive with the masach is in the system of kedusha, holiness. 16. After the tzimtzum and the masach were placed on that kli called will to receive, it was cancelled and departed from the system of kedusha, and the or chazer became the vessel of reception in its place. No, that this is the whole difference between Abiyah of Kedusha and Abiyah of Tumah. The vessels of reception of Abiyah of Kedusha are from the Or Chozer that is corrected in equivalence to form with Ein Sof, while Abiyah of Tumah used the will to receive that was restricted which is the opposite form from Ein Sof. That makes them separated and cut off from the life of lives, namely Ein Sof. Meaning, we have the will to receive that the Creator created, will to receive without the Masach. It is used in Bia de Tuma, of Tuma. The will to receive with the Masach is used in Bia of Tuma. That's the whole difference between Klipa, a shell, and Kedusha, holiness. Yes. The systems of Kedusha and Kedusha, are they the same? They're parallel. What do you mean the same? Are they two places or the same place? It's the will to receive. If it has a masach, it's Kedusha. Without the masach, it's Tuma. Impurity. So the one thing with changing relation, it's not two things. I don't understand. You want to say that they are exactly the same, the two of them? What does it mean, this system, that system? Where there is Kedusha, is there also Tuma? Or is there either Tuma or Kedusha? What do you mean by a place? Because a place is a will to receive already. If there is Tuma, is there Kedusha? The existence of Tuma means, mandates Kedusha. Is there one reality? And you are either in Kedusha or Tuma, or are there two realities? No, you have them, one opposite the other. God created. You can either be in Kedusha or Tuma. So you have two systems. Two systems. But where is the will to receive? Where is the soul? That's for a man to decide. So there are two systems. Yes, parallel. There are two parallel systems. The impure system and the pure system. The Tuma and Kedusha. The Kedusha, pure and holy, and Tuma, impurity. And where you are is determined by one's actions. When you are in the system of Kedusha, where is the system of Tuma? Now, the system doesn't belong to the souls. There is a system. The soul can be in one system or in the other system.
Yes.
Title: Humanity feeds on the leavings of the klipot, shells, and thus uses the will to receive as they do. 17. Now you can understand the root of the corruptions that were incorporated promptly in the thought of creation, which is to delight his creatures. After the cascading of the five general worlds, Adam Kadmon and Abia, the klipot appeared in four worlds, Abia of Tum'a, too, as in God has made them one opposite the other. In that state, the turbid corporeal body is set before us, of which it was said, for the inclination of a man's heart is evil from his youth. This is because its entire nursing from its youth is from the leavings of the klipot. The whole matter of klipot and the tum'a is the form of their desire only to receive. They have nothing of the will to bestow. In that, they are opposite from him. For he has no will to receive whatsoever. All he wants is to delight and bestow. This is why the klipot are called dead, since their oppositeness of form from the life of lives cuts them off from him, and they have nothing of his abundance. Hence the body too, which feeds on the leavings of the klipot, is also severed from life and is filled with filth. And all of this is because of the will to receive and not bestow imprinted in it. Its desire is always open to receive the whole world into its stomach. This is why the wicked in their lives are called dead. Since their fundamental disparity of form from their root, where they have nothing of the form of bestowal, severs them from him, and they become literally dead. Although it seems that the wicked too have the form of bestowal, when they give charity, etc., it has been said about them in the Zohar, any grace that they do for themselves, as their aim is primarily for themselves, and for their own glory. But the righteous who engage in Torah and mitzvot, not in order to receive reward, but to bestow contentment upon their Maker, thus cleanse their bodies and invert their vessels of reception to the form of bestowal. It is as was said, it is known and revealed, and I did not enjoy even with a little finger. This makes them completely adherent to Him, for their form is identical to their Maker, without any disparity of form. Our sages said about the verse, "Say unto Zion, you are my people." It was interpreted in the introduction to the book of Zohar that you are with me in partnership. This means that the righteous are partners with the Creator, since He started creation, and the righteous finish it by turning the vessels of reception into bestowal. Questions, offset. Meaning, what is he trying to say? Each one uses his will to receive, so we don't become confused if a person gives almsgiving or does something. It's all irrelevant what he does. It all follows his intention to receive or to bestow. And this can be done only by the upper light under special conditions, which, as we learned in our spiritual work. But without it, because everyone initially is in the will to receive only to receive, and use their kelim only for reception, of course. This is why everyone is regarded as wicked. Questions? Yes? Work within reason and above reason. Is it below the Tzimtzum and above the Tzimtzum, or before the Masach, after the Masach? You mean the first Tzimtzum that was in Insof? When we learn that we have to do the Tzimtzum and then the Masach and the Ochazel, reflected light. So when I try to work and try to get to above reason, does it mean that now I'm making a Tzimtzum, or am I creating the Masach already, or what? No, if you decide, I don't know from what point you decide, but if you decide that you want to work, to be in spiritual work, then you have to come to a Tzimtzum. Tzimtzum, you get to it only if you draw the reforming light. This is what makes it Tzimtzum. For this, you have to be included in a 10 and draw the light. The light that comes creates a Tzimtzum in you. After the Tzimtzum, you begin to weigh correctly what you can do. To what extent you can bestow in order to bestow, receive in order to bestow, etc. So, the Masach is an effort to rise above reason? No, the Masach is also a result of the upper light. Just like the Tzimtzum. And the upper light brings the Kli into Tzimtzum, which can be with the intention not for himself, and then how much not for himself? To be in bestowal, to the extent that he rises above his will to receive and can use this will to bestow only in order to bestow. Or bestow in order to bestow, or even receive in order to bestow. All this is done, all these actions are done only through the reforming light. So what's left in the desire that I can't bestow in, this is called klipot? No. No, what you can't, you need to do the Tzimtzum on all of your will to receive. Can't be that on part of the will to receive you put a Tzimtzum, and on part you don't. That's impossible. Tzimtzum is done on all of your will to receive that is revealed. The upper light does it, and then after the Tzimtzum, you see, besides the Tzimtzum, what you can use in order to bestow. Meaning, you're not left with a in the Kli with a part that is in order to receive.
So
if all the spiritual work is above the Tzimtzum, where are there klipot? If I close them completely, there can't be klipot. So where are the klipot? Where is the system below the Tzimtzum? Oh, that's systems. We'll learn it later. I didn't know this was the question. You didn't ask it in advance. The will to receive that is going to work draws reforming light, which creates in it the Tzimtzum, and then gives more strength to work above the Tzimtzum in order to bestow. That's it. It doesn't have a klipa. So the klipot are in a different place? Yes, the klipot are made only by the breaking. They don't belong to the kli. In the kli that is going for holiness, for kedusha, there can't be a part that's for a klipa. It's never like that. It's interesting. How would you describe it? How would you describe that it can be both? How can be in one carrier both klipa and kedusha? Well, we learn that klipot, we learn that it's something spiritual. Spiritual in the sense that he wants to use his will to receive with the Creator in order to receive. He's connected to the Creator. He wants him. And this is why it's not clear where is this place called klipa. If after the Tzimtzum I'm in spirituality and there are no klipot, everything goes to kedusha. We will learn it. It's a they're parallel. It's worlds.
Ken.
Yes.
Me?
Who?
Ah, USA Virtual Group.
USA Virtual Group.
USA Virtual Group.
USA Virtual Group.
Yeah, hello, Ralph. You mentioned the students earlier that the world of Tuma and the world of purity do not belong to the creature.
Worlds don't belong to the created being. They are systems. And the soul is in these systems, either in Kedusha, holiness, or in Tum'a, impurity, according to its work.
Is there any other attribute beyond the will to receive or contained in the will to receive that will manifest as we move up the ladder, so to speak? Should we be looking out for other attributes?
The will to receive is the substance of creation. Everything else is forms of the desire to bestow, which the will to receive acquires through the influence of the upper light on it.
Thank you.
Hello.
Go on. Page 377, item 18. Title: the whole of reality is contained in Ein Sof and extends existence from existence. Only the will to receive is new and extends existence from absence. 18. Know that the whole innovation that the Creator had innovated in this creation, which he elicited existence from absence, applies only to the form of desire to enjoy, imprinted in every creature. Nothing more was generated in creation. And this is the meaning of, I form the light and create darkness. Nachmanides interpreted that the word creator indicates renewal, meaning something that did not exist before. You see that it does not say creates light, since there is no innovation in it, as in existence from absence. This is because the light and everything contained in the light, all the pleasant sensations and conceptions in the world, extend existence from existence. This means that they are already contained in him. Hence, there is no innovation in them. This is why it is written, forms the light, indicating that there are no innovations or creations in him. However, it is said of the darkness, which contains every unpleasant sensation and reception and conception, and creates darkness. This is because he invented them, literally existence from absence. In other words, it does not exist in his reality whatsoever, but was generated now. The root of all of them is the form of the desire to enjoy included in his lights, which expand from him. In the beginning, it is only darker than the upper light, and is therefore called darkness, compared to the light. But finally, the klipot, shells, Sitra Acha, other side, and the wicked hang down and emerge because of it, which are completely cut off from the root of life by it. As it is written, her legs descend to death. Her legs indicate the end of something. And he says that in the end, death hangs down from the legs of Malchut, the desire to enjoy found in the expansion of his light, to the Sitra Acha and to those that feed off of her and follow her. Questions? So it's clear, right? The system, Niv, what do you say? Why are you ashamed? I don't understand what's the reality he's describing. Where is, what stage, what? Where are we positioned here? You're right. He doesn't say where. What is this question, where? It's as if he's describing these principles. There are walls of klipot. He says there is a quality which is reception and quality which is bestowal. The quality which is bestowal belongs to the Creator. And anyone who is in this quality is called righteous, servant of the Creator, corrected souls. And opposite that, there is a system where there is the will to receive that's not corrected in bestowal. These are the systems of Tum'a. So you can work in order to bestow or in order to receive. These systems are called worlds. And the souls are inside the worlds, going up and down according to their actions in the worlds. Both in the system. In the system of Tum'ah, there are also ups and downs, just as in the systems of Kedusha. Don't look at the word Tum'ah. It's just that they work in order to receive. For example, the high priest, before the ruin of the temple, when they would sell and buy the priesthood. So on the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, they would find him dead in the Holy of Holies. This, for example, is because his soul belonged to the system of Tumah, to the high places, to the big places. In the Torah, we have many such stories. Bilam, Balak, Amalek, he's the roots of it. Haman, and there's more. What does he say? Man is nourished by the leavings of the klipot and therefore uses the will to receive like them. If he's man, how is he fed by the leavings of the klipot? No. Don't give your interpretations to the words. It's the wisdom of Kabbalah. We have to understand what he's talking about exactly. Where he's talking about. What place. Man means he's just a person. An ordinary person in this world. He can be real Adam, similar to the Creator. So he's fed by the leavings of the klipot, meaning he's fed by the will to receive, which he uses for his own benefit. That's his vitality. Without it, he wouldn't be able to exist and achieve bestowal ever. So from what is he fed? From the little bit of the intention to receive. That's the leavings of the klipot. It's not the kedusha. Of course it's klipa, but it's the little bit that he has. Small illumination. Yes? Understand that the fact that a person in this world is detached from spirituality, but still belongs to the system of tum'ah, which is spiritual, it's spiritual. It works in order to receive from the Creator. And thanks to it, a person can grow. So he grows and grows until he comes to a state where through it he enters Kedusha. Yes? No, I didn't understand. What person are you talking about now? What is this world you're talking about? You, for example. Me? What worlds of Klipa am I in? From where do you take your vitality? We say that this world is an imaginary world. The vital force is a physical force, bodily force. Well, that's your imagination, because you are in all these images, but your will to receive is not imaginary. The images, the forms that your will to receive makes you see are imaginary. Yes. They don't come to you from equivalence of form with the Creator. So that's why they're imaginary. But you are fed by the system of the intention to receive, the system of Klipa, which raises you and rears you. And in this way, you then learn to enter Kedusha. That's how it works. So here's talking about a person in our world? Yes. What do you call that creature? He? Nivnavon? I don't know. I didn't think Talmud Sosfot spoke a single word about our world. Don't be primitive. He's explaining something to you here. If he's talking about spiritual actions, it's true that there's not a single word there that belongs to our world, because our world is corporeal. But if he wants to tell you how a person ascends and enters the ladder, of course he has to talk about a person in this world. Yes. Concerning definitions, we say that the wisdom is not, there's no more accurate wisdom than the wisdom of Kabbalah in terms of definitions, which is why they couldn't choose different words on condition that you read them correctly. Only just add this, because otherwise you can take every word and twist it however you want, because you have nothing to stand on, to rely on. And those to whom you explain also have no grip on the truth. They haven't discovered the word, the essence, the state. So it's as if you're in midair. But the wisdom itself speaks very clearly. Those who understand what it's about have no doubt. I want to ask about using the same names for different states, because every name should be taken according to the state they're talking about, although it's the same names. So how can you make a precision in this state if they're saying the El Chozer depends on something? Right. If you understand, you understand, and if not, you get confused. Your complaints are they have merit, but what can you do? There's nothing you can do. You can't bring a person who is still not in the state that he's talking about. You can't bring them a grip, a grasp, some clarity, only by going in. But it's okay, on the other hand. What is so bad about being confused? What? You're not doing anything by that. You're not breaking anything. You're not stopping your progress. Nothing. No problem. Be confused. Believe me, it has no impact whatsoever on your advancement. Your amount of knowledge, is it correct knowledge? Only a fool can think, oh boy, I was confused. What's going to happen to me? How will I advance? You're not learning anything worldly here, worldly teaching here. Like, and then you need to take a test, and if you pass, you move on. It depends on your effort, period. Let's say you invested 100 hours. After these 100 hours, you are totally confused, and you didn't understand anything. Or the other way around, you understand everything correctly. And someone next to you, Dudi, or you understood everything incorrectly. And Dudi felt and understood, and everything's clear to him. Beautiful. The two of you are equal only in one thing: how much each of you exerted above his strength, above his ego. Only that, without any other judgments or measurements. So you might be confused and frustrated, and you want to advance. And Dudi is happy; he's learned. You know, he understood, and then he misses out. It's not the smart one who learns. So the whole approach should be according to the wisdom. So what can we learn from the results, from what we go through? Is there no connection between results and cause? Nothing, nothing at all. So I shouldn't relate to what I go through, if I'm happy, unhappy, I understand, I don't, nothing? No, you will learn. You have learned to learn that the more you are confused and you feel out of place, the opposite comes afterwards. Clarity and understanding, but they mean nothing. They mean nothing. You don't know what states you should go through in order to come to an opening of the eyes. So only my efforts is what I choose in everything. I don't care about the results. Even if you do care, but according to how you exerted, you can't say anything. You might feel, I didn't do anything, it's been a few months, and how am I making progress, how am I bestowing, where is the group, where is anything? And you find out that actually, so I can't even measure how I exerted? No. So what gives you a direction? Nothing. That's the whole point. To be in pure bestowal, just like that. Maybe I'm not in pure bestowal. Leave this to the Creator. He will be the judge, as long as you want to be in it. And in this way, you change. Okay, so all I can hold on to is wanting to be in it? Yes. Yes. All you have is the 10, where you sink yourself, immerse yourself. This is about the Creator, that it's an innovation, a renewal, that it's darkness. Yeah, of course, I created the evil inclination. So when is it Bore, come and see? Or the creating of darkness is also come and see? Bore, come and see is our attainment, refers to our attainment, when I can advance in him in order to discover him, in my kelim. In the darkness? Yes. Okay. Yes. A student from Ashkelon is asking, is reality the work of the light in the kelim? Reality is the work of the light in the kelim. Yes. Can you elaborate on that? What reality are we talking about? Reality is what the light depicts in our kelim. There's a reality of this world, which is an imaginary reality. Reality, imaginary, doesn't mean it doesn't exist, but it exists in vessels of reception that are about to be cancelled, and therefore we don't relate to them, and say that it's an imaginary reality, not a real one, because it's not in any equivalence with the Creator. And there's an eternal and complete reality, which is the reality of bestowal, the upper worlds. And they're eternal. What does it mean, eternal? Even though afterwards they're all included in Ein Sof, In their form, they are still there. Meaning they all unite in this form, and this form doesn't disappear, doesn't go away.
No.
Well? So, the reality of the system of Tum'ah and Kedusha exists in spirituality or in the imaginary reality in this world? Where do you see the reality of this world? No. The system of Tum'ah is also not in this world. The system of Tum'ah is a system that wants to exploit the upper force in order to receive. It's not for someone who, it's not given to someone who's detached from it. And there are many discernments in it, in the systems of Tum'ah. You can read about it, although Kabbalists don't really recommend it and don't really trouble themselves with it. But, for example, if you read in Tree of Life, the Ari did write about systems of Tum'ah. Ramchal also, but not a lot, actually. In Zohar.
No.
Yes. Item 19, on page 378 in the writings of Bala Sulam, volume 1. Because we are branches that extend from Ein Sof, the things that are in our roots are pleasurable to us, and those that are not in our root are burdensome and painful to us. Sorry about the noise. 19. We can ask, since this disparity of form of the will to receive must be in the creatures, for how else would they extend from him and shift from being creator to being creatures? This is only possible by the above-mentioned disparity of form. Furthermore, this form of the will to receive to enjoy, of the will to enjoy, is the primary essence of creation, the axis of the thought of creation. It is also the measure of the delight and pleasure for which it is called a place. Thus, how you can say about it that it is called darkness and extends to the b'china, discernment of death, since it creates separation and interruption from the life of lives in the receiving lower ones? We should also understand what is this great anxiety that comes to the receivers because of the disparity of form from his essence, and why the great wrath about it. To explain this subtle matter sufficiently, we must first clarify the origin of all the pleasures and sufferings felt in our world. It is known that the nature of every branch is equal to its root. Therefore, every conduct in the root is desired and loved and coveted by the branch as well. And any matter that is not in the root, the branch too removes itself from them, does not tolerate them, and hates them. This is an unbreakable law that abides between every branch and its root. Because he is the root of all his creations, everything in him, and that extends from him directly, is pleasurable and pleasant to us, for our nature is close to our roots. Also, everything that is not in him and does not extend to us directly from him, but is rather opposite to creation itself, will be against our nature, will be the will to receive, and will be hard for us to tolerate. For example, we love rest and vehemently hate movement, to the point that we do not make even a single movement if not to find rest. This is because our root is motionless and restful. There is no movement in him whatsoever. For this reason, it is against our nature and hated by us. Rav, but in the Creator there is no movement because of the wholeness, and in us, we don't want to move because of our laziness. Similarly, we love wisdom, strength, wealth, and all the virtues because they are included in Him, who is our root. We hate their opposites, such as folly, weakness, poverty, ignominy, and so on, since they are not at all in our roots, making them despicable, loathsome, and intolerable to us. We should still examine how can there be any extension that does not come directly from Him, but is opposite to creation itself. It is like a wealthy man who called on a poor person, fed him, and gave him drinks, silver, and gold, and every single day, and each day more than the day before. Note that this man tastes two distinct flavors in the great gifts of the rich man. On one hand, he tasted immeasurable pleasure due to the abundance of his gifts. On the other hand, it is hard for him to tolerate the abundant benefits and is ashamed upon receiving it. This causes him impatience due to the proliferation of presents showered on him every time. It is certain that his pleasure from the gifts extend to him directly from the wealthy benefactor. But the impatience that he felt in the presence did not come from the wealthy benefactor, but from the very essence of the receiver, the shame awakened in him because of the reception and the free gift. The truth is that this too comes to him from the rich man, of course, but indirectly. Niv, is that clear? Niv, no. Rav, why not? Define it. This week, they asked me about it. What does it mean indirectly? How can the Creator turn the will to receive? Rav, the Creator gives you abundance, endless abundance. You receive and receive and receive, and all of a sudden you begin to feel, oh boy, He only gives and I only receive. Where does it come from? From His giving, right? So He gives you directly, right? Right. So why do you feel shame? We say it's a new creation on its own. It comes from the Creator. From where else? So it's a new creation that the Creator did create the shame, right? Added it to receive, in order to help the created being wake up from this act in order to receive, so he can get to in order to bestow. Right? So, directly, He gives you pleasures. Indirectly, at the same time, He awakens in you shame. To the point of hatred for the pleasures, for the reception. Okay, so then there's detachment between the created being and the Creator. Now it depends on the creature, on the created being. The creature receives the direct and indirect bestowal from the Creator, and He's in between them. And then in the creature, it awakens direct relation and opposite, etc. The question is, how does the Creator seemingly create a connection with the creature if He is opposite in form from Him? What does it mean indirectly? That's not a problem. I'm in them, in the midst of their impurity, tum'ah. From the perspective of the Creator, there's no kedusha or tum'ah. It's all the same. It's only from your perspective. From the perspective of the Creator, there's no problem with the intention to receive. It doesn't make Him dirty like you. According to what law is this? According to what law, the Creator, who is all-giving, He is all-giving, and He created the will to receive, and it doesn't take away from Him anything. So according to what law can the Creator be connected to the will to receive, which is opposite in form from Him? Why does the law of equivalence of form or disparity of form apply only to the creature? This is the question. That's what they asked me. Because He's the first, He's above it. And also, He doesn't determine that the will to receive in order to receive is bad. It's the creature seemingly determining completely independently, that in order to receive is bad because it separates me from the Creator. The creature determines it. That's why He was created independently. Not in a mandatory way. He makes the Tzimtzum Aleph, the first restriction. Don't do it. The Creator didn't force you to make the Tzimtzum Aleph. You chose it. Like the guest sitting in front of the host. He can overcome the shame, or he can overcome the pleasure that he gets from the food. He chooses what to overcome. Of course, the Creator decides behind the scenes, but from the perspective of the creature, it is not regarded as an offense, as a transgression, until he decides at the upper degree that he makes it in tzum, and he will never receive in order to receive. It's not forbidden. There's no prohibition. Only after he decided in the upper degree, in Machud Ein Sof. After that, it's forbidden to receive in order to receive. What does it mean it's forbidden? That he sees through the darkness and other events that are accompanied by darkness, up to death and suffering, etc. But basically, it's not like that. It's like Adam HaRishon, the sin of Adam HaRishon. Like the corrections. The Creator seemingly doesn't push you, doesn't press on you. But if you take on yourself this matter of wanting to work in order to bestow, then the Creator too accepts your decision and goes along with it. There is no pressure here, seemingly, directly, from the Creator. Receive in order to bestow, be in Dvekut, etc. No. Turns out that the creature chooses it himself. I recommend you go home, live with your family, forget about this whole thing, and just have a good time. Why did you choose to come here? Poor thing. Why? Why are you laughing? You understand that it's a choice. You can say, no, if I could, but I can't, the Creator is turning me. That's true. But basically, you can't blame Him for that. And that's because He is the first, He is the upper one. Yes, he turns it this way. Afterwards he'll tell you, Niv, did I pull you? No. Did I invite you? No. So what do you want from me? But if you came to demand work in order to bestow, then you have it. With what can you turn to Him? You want to do the Tzimtzum and work and sweat and all that? No problem. It's your choice. Just like you go to the gym. You understand? It's a cruel business. Yes. This thing of shame being the existence from absence. Can you explain it? The will to receive that didn't exist before, and the desire of the Creator was made by him wanting to create the will to receive in order to fill it, to satisfy it, to bestow upon it, to bring it into similarity with himself. That's why this will to receive is called existence from absence. Previously, it didn't exist, and then it was made according by the decision, the Creator's decision, when he wanted it to be. Previously, there was only the upper light, the Creator's desire. Let's to put it very simply, on purpose. And then the Creator decided he wants the will to receive into the upper light, the desire to bestow. And then both of them started to exist. And the upper light, which is the first and above the desire, manages the desire and changes it every time to eventually be congruent with the light. I'm asking about the shame, which is its own creation. Yes, its own creation, yes. So this is also interference existing from, this is also creation existence from absence from, by the Creator. Yes, the Creator created it. You need to understand the will to receive, which received in Malchut Ein Sof in order to receive and enjoyed, gave pleasure to the Creator by enjoying. And it had no problem with it. He also felt the host who was benefiting him, delighting him. In this way, they existed. You understand? Like a man and a dog. The dog enjoys the man feeding him, and the man enjoys his dog eating. No problem, nothing's missing, they can stay this way. And then Malchut Ein Sof would be filled and complete and everything would be just great, excellent. What's the difference? The Creator wants the creature to be as Malchut, that will be as Malchut Ein Sof, will not be created by him, but will achieve his own status, that he will, so to speak, create himself with a special will to receive, so he can say, this is me, separate from you, first of all, and after I'm separate from you, I become like you. The Creator just gives us a chance to be like that. This is why there can be shame or there doesn't have to be a shame. Doesn't have to be shame. It's an additional creation in Malchut Ein Sof. So it's as if there is existence from absence twice, once with the will to receive and once with shame. Rav, let's put it this way. Another question. The beginning of the degree, is this a revealing of the Klipa? Rav, the beginning of the degree, no, there's no such thing as revealing of the Klipa. How does the principle of one opposite the other work when a person ascends in spirituality? How does the work begin? A person who enters spirituality doesn't have a Klipa in front of him. Klipa is already opposite systems of Bia. You understand? Where Kelim from the breaking of Adam HaRishon are revealed. We're still not there. We're before it. When we start entering Kedusha, then we will start discovering that it can be in order to receive, and that's called Klipa. Yes? From what does the degree begin? From having the first Avaya. At one point. But in order to bestow. The drop of sperm. 3 days of absorption. There are actions there of scrutiny, waste, but they're not klipot. They're still not klipot. We will get to it. I don't want to get too deep into it. Also, the words are not clear. It's too soon. We still don't have. We still can't quite fashion it correctly. Okay, where are we? Item 20. I don't know, we'll leave it for tomorrow.
Shabbat Shalom.